Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money.
And welcome back to the Investor Coaching Show. This is Ira Work, sitting in for the vacation, and Paul Winkler, who is spending his time vacationing, listening to Ann Sawatsky and I share here on the radio.
Yeah.
So, when we first came in, you told me you found this interesting article by a comedian.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so here's an article I found by a financial comedian. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Well, but I think outside of our company, they're all financial comedians. But.
Well, yeah, I guess you could make that argument. But he does, he tries to be a financial comedian.
Okay.
Maybe I should put it that way.
Let's see what he has to say.
But his name is Jeff Kreisler, and he talks about, here in this article, it was in Think Advisor. This is an oldie, but a goodie. I just thought it was great. From 2018, why 401ks are irrational and HR offices should have number one grandma mugs.
Okay.
So this is talking about, first of all, we want to put clients in the right frame of mind for retirement planning by connecting them emotionally to their future older selves. And we know that's very difficult because most people see their future self as somebody they don't know. You know, they'll see their studies show that the brain reacts to you thinking about yourself 30 years from now the same way it would react as you seeing like some movie star. It's like, oh yeah, I recognize that person, but you don't see them as you. You don't feel like you know them.
Well, I think one of the reasons why it's hard to see your future self is because you think about the future as being old,
mm-hmm.
and we don't feel as old as we really are.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I still feel like I'm in my 30s, and my wife tells me I act like I'm sometimes in my teens.
Yeah. Well, so that, but that's why it's hard for us to plan and save for our future selves.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, because he's a comedian, right? He thinks that HR offices, because, you know, human resources offices are very often where you'll be talking about your 401k and what do you want to do with it and your planning, that he thinks that they should actually make the HR office look like a doctor's office that mm-hmm. you'd be spending your time in when you're older. So they get that visual feeling of, I am older now, and this is what it's going to be like. And there's a number one grandma mug, and that they can think about themselves when they are older. Because actually, when you are able to think about yourself as older, there's actually been studies that actually there's one bank right now. They were talking about that in this article. There's one bank that's experimenting with those reality glasses, those all, you know, the ones.
Virtual reality.
Virtual uh-huh. reality glasses.
I tried a set of those. They gave me a headache.
Yeah, I they are bizarre. But anyway, they're experimenting with virtual reality glasses that clients could see themselves in an aged state so that they can understand the importance of saving. Because when you don't think about it, it's you in the future you're saving for, you're less likely to save. So they said everybody in this experiment who saw themselves with the virtual reality in an aged state was absolutely like, I am saving more.
Well, I did something like that, which kind of scared me, is that there's some apps that you can get on your phone.
Right.
That yeah. will show you what you could look like in 20 years from now. I'm like, oh my God, I do not like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this to my wife.
It's an uncomfortable thing, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. But anyway, so he talks about that, but then he talks about the fact that people are funny about money. And he says money makes people do crazy things.
I've said that for years.
Which is very true. So he said financial decisions are one of life's huge challenges because behavioral biases often sabotage the decision-making process.
Okay.
Right?
So, and one of the things that I found out or find it very interesting that you actually picked up this article is that I had brought in an article for the show today, and it's 10 cognitive biases that lead to investment mistakes. So go ahead, continue on.
Yeah, and actually this is similar. He says that because we get crazy, he calls it crazy, but people get worried crazy about money, then they become irrational. And the irrationality comes from uncertainty. And when we're uncertain about things, we get emotional and apprehensive and sometimes frantically look for a solution, maybe look for the easy answer, but that's not always the rational or wisest answer. And he says, interestingly, the person we trust the most is ourselves, but that isn't necessarily a good thing.
Right.
So we don't always, we think we make the right decision all the time. But we don't always make the right decision because our decisions are often shaded with behavioral biases that are, and that's one of the things we talk about in the American Dream Experience is these things that influence our brain when we're trying to make decisions.
Well, one of the ways to know that we can't trust ourselves as much as we think we're the best judge is that doctors are actually taught you don't practice with your own family.
Oh, true. True. So, because the emotion will get in the way.
Right.
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 So, true.
So what are some of the biases?
Well, the first one he talks about is herding bias.
Okay.
So what is herding bias? That is following the crowd. And, you know, everybody's buying this hot stock. So it must be a good thing because, after all, with all those people who've bought it, they must have done their research.
Well, I remember back in 1998, one of my son's friends, I asked his dad, so what are you doing for your retirement account? And he said, oh, I'm just putting the money in the S&P. I'm like, well, that's really not as diversified as you really need to be. And he says, so many people are doing it, it can't be wrong. Well, 2 years later, the S&P went down with the rest of the market. And from 2000 to 2009, the S&P had an annualized negative return of 0.9%. From 2001 to 2010, the S&P had an annualized negative rate of 1.4%.
Yeah.
So basically for 10 years there, the S&P didn't make money. So apparently all of these people were wrong.
Yeah, right.
If that's all they owned.
Right, right. So to assume that just because a lot of people are doing it means it's a good thing or means that they've done their research, because by the way, I had a client who said that to me. She called me. She was, you know, worried. And she goes, well, but I know all these people that are doing X. And I said, so do you think that they've all researched this? Oh, yeah, they know what they're doing. I said, really? Did they research it? Or are they just doing what you're doing, which is assuming that everybody else researched it? And of course, she's like, well, that's true. I'm not researching it. I'm assuming that they did. So I actually got her to realize that.
Good.
You know, so the herding thing is a very tempting bias that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what are some of the other ones that you have in there? Because he starts getting into these financial sins. So I want to get more into the biases.
Well, okay. So the first bias that they had here was confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And I talked about that I didn't mention confirmation bias during the first segment, but I talked about data mining.
Mm-hmm.
And confirmation bias or data mining, I'm not sure which came first, the chicken or the egg, but they kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing data mining, you're looking for information to confirm what you want, what you believe. Mm-hmm. So confirmation bias is a natural human tendency to seek or emphasize information that confirms an existing conclusion or hypothesis.
Yes, because we've already made the determination that we're always right. So, we want to prove that.
And there's plenty of information. I mean, there are people that will point to gold and say how it beat inflation, where if you look at an ounce of gold in 1925, which bought a man a custom-made suit, go into Nordstrom's, ask them how much a custom-made suit is, and it's about $2,000. And you'll find that that's about what an ounce of gold is right now. So basically, it didn't outperform inflation. There are periods of time where it did. But long term, it's not a good investment. It's actually more risky than the stock market with much lower returns. Mm-hmm. Another bias that investors tend to have, and we cover a lot of these biases in much greater detail in the American Dream Experience, mm-hmm. is information bias. And that is the tendency to evaluate information, even when it is useless in understanding a problem or an issue. The key in investing is to see the wood from the trees and to carefully evaluate information that is relevant to making a more informed investment decision and to discard irrelevant information. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things for investors to do because there is so much information out there. If you go and Google money and investing, you will find that there's about 3 billion pages for you to read. Now, I just turned 63. I'm not 12, so I don't think I have enough time to read all those.
I don't think anyone does.
No, it would take about 400 years if it takes about 3 minutes per page. Nobody does. But people spend more time planning for the vacation than they, or buying a new car,
right?
Than they do actually planning for their retirement. Another one of the biases is loss aversion. It's a tendency for people to strongly prefer avoiding losses than obtaining gains. And if you're in a diversified portfolio, you know you're in a diversified portfolio. If there's one or two investments that may actually go down when everything else is going up, mm-hmm. or you see that none of the investments are all going up the same amount. So most investors, what they'll do is they will tend to get out of the investments that are not going up as much as the ones that have gone up and concentrate their investments on the ones that have most recently done well.
Yeah, so when you're selling that thing that just did poorly, because we're getting things that move differently, some are going to go up, some are going to go down, some are different, then what are you doing? Are you buying low and selling high, or are you buying high? You're selling high to buy what's already high.
Right. Well,
or I mean, selling low, I should say.
Yeah.
Most
investors, the research does show us that most investors are buying high and selling low.
Right, right.
And it was a strategy that is taught by the investment firms. Mm-hmm. You sell funds based on track record. When the fund doesn't continue to do as well as it did in the past, and it goes down, or maybe it doesn't go up as much as some other funds, it's, well, let's move you out of this one and move you into the new 5-star or 4-star fund and capture those better returns.
Right.
Well,
right.
Other studies have also taught us that the funds that people are getting out of because of the poor performance or the lackluster performance are the funds that then go up. But they got out of it before it went up and never recouped.
Well, and the ones that they usually go into, the 4- and 5-star rated funds, don't tend to repeat.
Right.
So it's really the inverse of what you should be doing.
Yeah. And the line that the investment firms taught me was, well, you know, those managers were doing really well when we were recommending them. We're just as disappointed, or perhaps even more disappointed than you are. So what we're doing now is recommending these funds. And it tends to be another 4- and 5-star fund, so that you end up in that position, as I said, of selling low and buying high. Mm-hmm. And it's just a vicious cycle that keeps on perpetuating itself, which is why the research, and we're a very research-driven firm, mm-hmm. the research shows us that most investors underperform the market because of that.
Right.
Another bias that's very closely related, and I'm not going to have time to go into this, is called the endowment effect. It's very closely related to loss aversion, and it occurs when people place a higher value on a good thing rather than something they do not own that's identical. We're going to take a short break and then continue with some of these biases right after this.
Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20-plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
And welcome back to the Investor Coaching Show. Ira Wirt, sitting in for the vacation, and Paul Winkler, who is like a fly on my shoulder listening to the show, just texted me that the HR department should put a pickleball court in your office.
Yeah, well, this article is from 2018, so it actually suggests a shuffleboard game.
Well, I was thinking...
But pickleboard's the latest thing, right?
I was thinking that they should build the office and have a lobby first and put rocking chairs in the lobby.
Yeah, that would be good then too.
Or pickleball.
No, what is pickleball?
Pickleball is like a small version of tennis. That's about all I know. I've never played it.
I've never played it, but I know a lot of people that love it. It is. It's a big thing.
It's a big, big thing. Yeah.
So you have to run up and down the tennis court.
I don't think there's as much running.
I've seen it, but
is it like a tennis rack?
It's like a smaller racket, a littler one, right? So if you think, I had seen it on TV the other day. So if you think about the tennis court. And you know how you have the big field right up in front of the tennis and then the two backfields divided in half? It's like it's missing the two backfields. So the front field is just a little bit smaller. Friends of mine put a pickleball court in their driveway, so it ain't that big.
It's very hot.
Yeah, you hit right an now. Actual.
No, you're not dumb. I mean, look, there's all things, like I said earlier, there's just this wealth of information, and we know maybe a pinhead of it.
So you don't hit actual pickle.
No, you don't hit actual pickles.
So is everything green?
So there's a PhD, a neuroscientist actually at Stanford University by the name of David Engelman, who has a book, he wrote a book on the brain, and he has a TV show on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the brain and the biases and how our brain is actually making decisions before we even know that. And the decision that we come to had already been made way before we actually thought we came up with that idea. Well, we made that decision. The brain is so hardwired. And one of the things it's really not hardwired for is investing.
Right.
And part
right.
of it happens to be with these biases or these sins that Aunt will talk about.
Yeah. So this article I was continuing with this financial comedian, Jerry Kriesler, he talks about 10 financial sins. And he said, you know, not everybody gets them, but the point of these are emotional things that can create worry, cause us to do crazy things, according to him. So the 10 sins are emotions, selfishness, impulse.
All right, so are you going through one by one, or is this all in the first?
Well, I was just going to read through them, and then I thought we could just talk about them.
Sure.
So these are 10 financial sins he classifies. These are things that cause us to do crazy things as investors. So again, emotion, selfishness, impulse, lack of planning, short-term thinking. That is a huge one, I think. Self-deception, outside pressure, that's the hurting bias, self-justification, we want to be right, confusion, and greed. And he thinks the biggest is lack of self-control. But let's just talk about the list.
Sure.
You know, when we see clients and they're tempted to make poor decisions, do you think any of these things factor in? Or what do you think are things you see commonly?
Well, I think the big one is the number one that he said, selfishness, emotions.
Yes, right.
You know, because we tend to be very emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest three trigger buttons when it comes to emotion is, number one, our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to mess with Mama Bear, right? You know, with the kids. You don't want to mess with the kids. Mm-hmm. I could talk bad about my brother, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or my sister. Or you know, I could say things about my kids, but you can't. So children, family, that's an emotional button as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Our health.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go see a doctor the other day. I didn't tell my wife that I was going to the doctor simply because my wife worries. So I would rather find out there's nothing wrong with me and tell her, hey, I went to the doctor. Everything is great, mm-hmm. which is what I did. And she's mm-hmm. like, well, why didn't you tell me you were going? I'm like, I don't want you to worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I'd rather come home and tell her, all right, I went to the doctor. Here's what we have to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So health tends to be another one. I remember, you know, at our last American Dream experience, just before I had to go on and lead the last workshop or conversation, my wife told me that she had been diagnosed with a form of cancer.
Oh.
And I struggled to get through the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my closing, I lost it. I had to say to Evan, the guy that I do, who runs our Cool Springs in Columbia office and also has an office out in Dixon, I need you to finish. I just can't do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So our health is another emotional button. And then our money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see we have $1 million invested and the markets go down. It goes down to 925 or 875. And we become emotional. And in our brain... The brain does what we call complete the pattern.
Right.
And we see the pattern going to zero.
Right.
And
right.
we say, oh, get me out, move me out. I want to go to cash. We panic and we do the wrong thing.
Right. And, you know, that all of these financial sins, he calls them, what they all do is they create anxiety, worry. And we know that our brain is hardwired to look for danger. And then the amygdala will kick in, mm-hmm. bypass the thinking part of the brain, and just immediately act. So it's that fight and flight thing, which is very dangerous when you're an investor, because we want to make informed, rational decisions and not react, because when we react, we're usually not making a logical, rational decision.
Well, and that's why in my office, I have this like big bucket of squishable brains. And it says on it, when the right brain is, the right side is overwhelming the left side, because your left side is your logic and your reasoning. Mm-hmm. Your right side is your creative side and emotions. Mm-hmm. When the right side is overwhelming the left side, it's time to call Ira.
Oh, that's great.
And you take them home and they're squishing all those little tension brains. It's their gold brain. And anyway, go ahead. Let's continue on.
Yeah. So anyway, though, I think short-term thinking is another one. I mean, and again, this comes along with we're reacting. So we're reacting to something that's happening right now. And not necessarily thinking about, okay, in the, you know, we know that over every period of time for the last 100 years, it's never gone to zero, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And that certain areas of the market have a certain expected return, and that, you know, and that we put these things together in your portfolio for a reason. So we all of that's sort of out the window because we're thinking short term. Oh, I'm scared right now.
Well, and you can see it when you go and you talk to an advisor or you meet an advisor at a cocktail party and you say to the advisor, well, what did your portfolio do last year? That is short term thinking.
Right, right.
You know, and we're very hardwired to do that because most of us can't think 10 years into the future mm-hmm. when there has not been an asset category, whether it's the S&P 500, your large growth or your small value or your international small growth. There's not one investment category that had a 20-year negative rate of return.
Right, right. So, yeah. So, and then, of course, lack of planning.
That is the big one. That's what I had talked about in the last segment, mm-hmm. is that people spend more time researching their car mm-hmm. or researching their next vacation. I mean, my wife and I are getting ready to go on vacation next week. We're going to be doing a driving vacation out of Scottsdale up to Mount Rushmore. And she's given us all of the time telling me where we're going to be at what time, and I had to make reservations for this train ride because I just love trains. And I don't know how many hours she has spent because she's up at 5 a.m. every day. I'm in bed. And she's been doing all this research in order to us to have the best time and make the most use of all of our time. So she's been doing all this research. She
and
just
that's
trusts
pretty
me.
Common.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people do. They spend
right.
their time. But it's funny how, in a sad way, mm-hmm. how it is so hard for me to get people to want to actually sit down and create a plan mm-hmm. for their future.
Right.
It's like when you're getting ready to retire, I ask the question, what does the next stage look like? You're working 40 hours a week, maybe a half hour, driving back and forth, that's another hour. You know, it's 45 hours a week. How do you fill that 45 hours? Mm-hmm. You know, what hobbies do you have? What do you like to do? So as a result of that, people often don't know.
Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.